our good pal, our Hollywood insider, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my man?
I'm good, Bull. How are you doing?
Lovely. Just enjoying life right now, halfway through the summer, all-star break, all very, very good things. And sounds like it was an all-star weekend at the box office for Spider-Man Homecoming, $117 million on its opening weekend. I haven't seen it, but there are some that are saying it was out of this world awesome. I'm not sure if you've had the chance to check it out, but what are you hearing about this movie if you haven't seen it?
I personally have not. I decided to finally finish Baby Driver this weekend, so I did not get a chance to see Spider-Man. But from what I've heard and a lot of, the geeks and comic book nerds I talk to, they're very ecstatic about it. They said because Spider-Man, the first two were pretty strong, the third one was a disaster, and then the two amazing Spider-Men weren't great. So this last one definitely gave people what they were looking for and brought in, from what I'm told, is the sense of humor people were missing from the original Spider-Man, especially the Andrew Garfield ones, which were a little more, emo-ish. So I heard people loved it, and I heard Michael Keaton was great, and I'm excited to see it. I'm not too shocked it did as well as it did, even though it killed it. But it seems like every film is doing that right now. Every time I talk to you, it's like another crazy weekend. And, a couple weeks ago we talked, and we called this. We said the next few weeks were going to be insane. And I knew Spider-Man, just from the look of it, was going to do great. So I'm not too surprised by it.
Let's get back to Baby Driver for just a second. You actually found a movie theater that didn't lose power halfway through?
Yeah, I had to go a little far out of the city, but I found one. And while we're on that topic, I'm actually shocked. It went down like 30%. I thought it would be one of those movies that kind of ticked up every week. Maybe it was because it was going up against Spider-Man. But I thought Baby Driver, finally seeing the whole thing, was great. And I think it's going to be one of those movies that, 10 years from now, we'll still be playing on screens, like doing cold screenings and that stuff. So I thought it was a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to watching that. I've not had the chance to watch either one of these movies that we have discussed, either Spider-Man Homecoming or Baby Driver. I really want to see Baby Driver because of all the things you had mentioned in recent weeks about it, I've heard nothing but good things about it too, but I would love to get out there and watch that one. Now, the Spider-Man opening was the third largest opening at the opening weekend at the box office in the States this calendar year. Now, of the other two movies it's involved with, I want you to go ahead and give me your favorite amongst these three: Beauty and the Beast, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and Spider-Man. Now, I'm taking Spider-Man kind of out of the equation because I know you haven't seen it, but do you have a favorite amongst these who have done all kinds of damage on their opening weekend?
Well, I have a feeling from what I've heard and what I've been told, I have a feeling Spider-Man will be my favorite once I see it, because I couldn't even get through Beauty and the Beast. I tried to watch it. It just wasn't my cup of tea. And it's pretty much, when you have such a good intellectual property based on, I don't see the point of remaking it, even though it's live action. So I really, even though I was excited to see it, I couldn't even get through it. And I thought Guardians was okay. I didn't think it was anything special. It wasn't as good as the first. And I thought it was a little bit of a letdown, especially with the villain. And for me, these movies are made by the villains. And we've had some really lackluster ones in the last couple of Marvel movies, going back to Avengers, Age of Ultron. And from what I've heard, Michael Keaton does a great job and is one of the better villains in recent past. So hopefully he was good. And I'm pretty sure I'll like it once I get a chance to see it, even though I've always been very partial to the second one with Doc Ock. And I always think that gets short shrift now because it was so old and was before, all these crazy effects. But to me, that's still one of the best superhero movies ever made.
Interesting how Michael Keaton goes from being Batman, and here we are 25 some odd years later, almost 30 years later, he's now playing a villain in a Spider-Man movie.
Not just that, he spoofed the whole, playing the superhero in Birdman. So not only has he played a superhero, he's played an actor trying to live after playing a superhero, and now he plays a villain. But the guy's a heck of an actor, and I'm really excited to see that he has made this comeback. And like I said, from everything I heard, he was great in this, so good for him.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. The Coen brothers are doing some work on a TV series, putting a cast together for The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. What do we know about The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and what about this excites you?
Well, for those that know me, the Coen brothers are my end-all, be-all for cinema. I think they're the best out there right now. Probably my personal top 50 movies have about 7 Coen brothers movies in them. So I'm always excited for everything new they do. And the fact that they're finally getting into TV and they're doing what sounds like it's 6 episodes of a Western, but each one is its own anthology. So it's its own standalone plot. So it's almost like 6 short movies, like I said, Westerns. And they just announced the cast this weekend, which is why we're talking about it. At least the preliminary cast. James Franco will be starring in one. Zoe Kazan, who I think is fantastic, will be in one. Tim Blake Nelson might be in all of them. And it seems like it's right in their wheelhouse. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I couldn't be more excited. And what I'm hoping they do with it is that they, you know, some of the episodes have like the tone of like a No Country or like a Llewyn Davis, a little darker. But I still hope they bring like some of that old humor back, like the Lebowski Raising Arizona humor. And the fact that they're doing 6 episodes, I think they should definitely be able to mess around with tone and have some fun with it. And it's just exciting when you get big time directors doing something different in the medium of television. And you've been seeing it a lot lately. David Lynch coming back. You had Jean-Marc Vallée doing Big Little Lies. You had, you know, Soderbergh doing The Nick. And all these big directors coming to TV, I think, is just great for the medium. And it gives them a lot more elbow room to have fun with it. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Where is this going to be made available? What channel will this be on? This is the first I had heard of it.
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure.
All right, well,
you stumped me with that one, Bull.
Well, no, because you sent this link to me. I thought, boy, that's pretty interesting because, like you said, it's fun to see the Coen brothers do something a little bit different outside their wheelhouse a bit. I also think it's interesting, too, that it's not necessarily going to be a series per se because they're talking about making individual episodes that mm-hmm. tell their own stories. So it's like having a bunch of short movies. How long are we talking? Are these like hour-long clips? What are they going to be? Any idea what that might turn out to be?
No, I haven't heard. I'm sure it'll be anywhere from like an hour to like 90 minutes. But, you know, you've had like in the past these anthology series where it's like each season of this TV is different. We haven't really had one where, like, each episode is different. It's kind of like what Alfred Hitchcock did in the past with Hitchcock Presents, or like a Twilight Zone. So, and like I said, if it's all Westerns and with their sensibility, we'll be talking about it far after it's premiered because it could go as one of the better things on television ever.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Did the Coen brothers produce the remake of True Grit, the one with Jeff Bridges back in 2010? Was that their doing or somebody else's? I swore that was a Coen brothers production.
No, they directed it.
Okay. Now, see, I like that. Now, there are a lot of members of our older members of our listening audience that did not like it because they felt like it just tried too hard to replicate the original version. I thought it was fantastic. I thought that Jeff Bridges as Rooster Cogburn was outstanding, and I thought Matt Damon was pretty good in it as well.
Yeah, I thought it was very well directed. I thought the performances were great, but I definitely would put it on the lower end of the spectrum of my favorite Coen Brothers movies because it's not necessarily, I think they're beholden more to the subject matter. Like they wanted to really base it on the book, not necessarily copy the movie, but I think they're beholden a little more to, you know, the book than, and doesn't really let their like comedic spirit come out. Like No Country, they had, you know, the Cormac McCarthy book, but there's definitely the Coen brothers zeal to that. I just didn't feel that as much with True Grit.
Fair enough. See, I thought, see, Brolin's character, too, he was nominated for some awards, and I didn't think that what he did in that movie was all that outstanding. I thought it was okay. I thought that what Barry Pepper did was more impressive.
Yeah, I do, too. And I thought Damon was a lot of fun. The girl was fantastic. And I think there's definitely good parts to that, but we're talking about, you know, the two greatest filmmakers out there right now. And so for me, that's just not one of their better ones.
Fair enough. Again, we're talking with our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, I wanted to bring this to your attention because you know I loved Eastbound and Down, one of my favorite series of all time. And I know there's a lot of similarities between that and Vice Principals on HBO. I never had the chance to watch the initial season of Vice Principals on HBO, but apparently they are preparing for season two. I'm awfully intrigued by the series. What have you heard about that? Have you seen any episodes of Vice Principals?
No, I've seen a little clips here and there. I love the cast. I think Danny McBride, while I didn't like him at first, really starting to grow on me. And now that he's like kind of branched out and tried different roles. And I think Walton Goggins is one of the best actors on television. I think from what I saw, it looks fun. I've heard mixed things about the first season. Some people really liked it. Some people just were expecting like an Eastbound and Down and wasn't really like delivered that. But from what I heard, they're trying something new with season two. And I'm sure season two will be better. I mean, I thought Eastbound and Down got better as it went on. And I think the same thing with could have been Vice Principals, and I'll pick it up at some point.
What about Game of Thrones? Season 7 coming out, and boy, there are some things being released about Season 7 that make it sound like this could be the absolute best season yet. What are you hearing about Season 7 in Game of Thrones?
Oh, I'm hearing it's supposed to be the most epic season they've done. Just a lot of battles, a lot of crazy stuff happening. I heard maybe that each episode's going to be closer to feature length. I don't know how accurate that is. I've just heard a lot of great things. The trailer looked amazing. It looks like we're going to get a lot of answers this season. It's going to really move the action on. There's been a couple seasons where it's kind of dragged. And right now, while I don't think it's the best series on television, I definitely think it's must-watch television, which you don't get, like, you don't really have that anymore with digital and everyone watching like on demand. You don't have that like water cooler TV show that everyone like talks about the next day at work. I feel like Game of Thrones is like the last we have left.
Interesting. See, I've never really gotten into it, but I'm continuously told you've got to start watching it. You got to go back to season one, start from the beginning. It's really, really good stuff. But
yeah.
I just never got into that appointment viewing of sitting down same time every week to watch it. And even now, it's hard to carve out time to watch that. I'm actually still hooked on Longmire. I'm still working my way through that one. Maybe when I get done with Longmire, I'll work my way over to Game of Thrones. But
that's an investment. I'm just warning you right now. Game of Thrones is an investment.
How many episodes have – I mean, this is obviously the seventh season coming out, but in the first six seasons, are we talking like, what, 10, 15 episodes a season or more than that?
10 episodes, but you're also – it's so dense with knowledge that you'll find yourself rewinding, rewatching, just kind of understanding, like, each part. It's – I wouldn't say it's a trying show to watch because it moved, the pace is great, the action's great, but it's definitely it requires a lot of attention.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Before we get to this week's Picks to Click, which I know everybody chomping at the bit to hear, I want to throw
not,
our...
Not this week, I'll tell you that much.
Not this week? Why is that? You got nothing for me this week?
This is not a good week for premieres. Honestly, my Pick to Click would just be Game of Thrones this season. The one show I was like excited for that was coming out, Friends from College, which is like a Netflix comedy show, has been really panned by critics. So I don't know. I'll still give it a shot because I like the people involved. It's got Keegan-Michael Key, Kobe Smulders, and it's directed by Nicholas Stoller, who did Forgetting Sarah Marshall and a couple of those other Jason Segel movies. So I'll give it a shot, but I haven't heard good things. And right now, Game of Thrones is the big one, and that's my pick to click for sure. Will be to watch Game of Thrones this Sunday.
What did you say? It was Friends from College? What was it? What was that comedy?
Friends from College. It's a sitcom that Netflix produced that I think airs on Wednesday. But like I said, I was excited for it. It has a lot of people involved I like. I like the director, but from what I've heard, it's just it's not very good. But I'm sure I'll give it a listen.
Okay. Well, before we cut you loose, we want to throw our social media poll question at you. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Recent studies say that if you're 35 or younger, you go out to eat 5 times a week. So my question to you is, do you go out to eat more or less than 5 times a week?
Way more.
Okay. See, I'm getting a little bit more of that. Now, on our Twitter page, we've got a lot of people saying less, but I see.
Well, with me, it's different because when you're, you know, I work a lot. When you're on film sets, you get your first meal taken care of, so it's eating out technically. And then at the end of the day, I'm too tired to cook, so I go out. And then on the weekends, I go out. So I'd say about 10 times a week.
Wow, so you're going to double that. Okay, all right. Yeah. 10 times a week. Well, when you're a Hollywood insider and you're a high roller, you can afford to go out at least 10 times a week, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm making the big bucks doing this, bull.
That's right. I figured. That's right. Al, always appreciate it, man. Pleasure to have you on every single week, and I look forward to doing it again next week as well.
We'll talk then. Have a good one.
You too. That's Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's take a break.